1340 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
CBS News Brief. A growing number of Republicans urging Attorney General Pam Bondi to release Justice Department files on the late pedophile Jeffrey Epstein. House Speaker Mike Johnson.
It's a very delicate subject, but we should put everything out there and let the people decide it.
He spoke on the Benny Johnson Show podcast. Police in Los Angeles have revealed details on the 22-year-old man arrested in the murders of American Idol suspect Robin Kay and her husband, Lieutenant Guy Golan.
When the homeowners returned back to their residence, a violent struggle ensued between them and the suspect, who was already inside their home, which resulted in the victims tragically losing their life.
2,000 National Guard troops sent into L.A. during ICE protests have been ordered to go home. Mayor Karen Bass.
I am here to say that we've had an important victory. I think because Los Angeles stood strong.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
WAUK News brought to you by the Summer Splash Dog Show at the Waukesha County Fairgrounds, July 25th to July 27th. Fun for the whole family. WaukeshaSummerSplash.com.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Shali Pittman. Racine police are still investigating two separate fatal shootings that have happened since last Friday, but no one has been charged in either investigation. The latest happened early yesterday on 11th Street and claimed the life of a 37-year-old woman who got caught in crossfire between two other parties. And late last Friday, a 52-year-old man died after getting shot during an apparent burglary on St. Patrick Street. At a press conference yesterday afternoon, investigators encouraged people to come forward with any information, including cell phone video from early yesterday on 11th Street. Surveillance on the scene hasn't helped find a suspect yet. Violence Interrupters are also encouraging people to use their services. Common Council President Maurice Horton, who is also the city's community violence prevention manager, says they offer things like employment and therapeutic support to help people break out of a cycle of violence. A power outage in Milwaukee on Sunday had an unexpected cause, a stray Mylar balloon, those shiny metal ones that are shaped like stars and hearts. Mylar balloons are coated with metal, which makes them conductive, which means they can cause a short circuit and cause power outages. And that's what happened on Sunday when a couple thousand in southeast Milwaukee lost power. State Senator Tim Carpenter is pointing to a bill from him and other lawmakers that would add a fine for releasing Mylar balloons. It treats releasing 10 or more of these balloons like littering and subject to a $500 fine. The bill was introduced in both chambers in the last few weeks, and it's still waiting to get a hearing. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Shali Pittman.
The All-Star Game ends in a tiebreaker. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the All-Star Game in Atlanta ended after 9 innings in a 6-6 tie, so for the first time in the game's history, it went into a tiebreaker. They call a swing-off, a mini-home run derby. Philly slugger Kyle Schwarber managed to hit 3 home runs in a row to win the swing-off 4-3 and was named the game's MVP. Brewers pitcher Trevor McGill and the Miz, Jacob Mizorowski, each got a chance to play, retiring 4 batters, allowing just 1 hit between the two of them. Up next, the Brewers head to L.A. to open up a 6-game road trip against the Dodgers this weekend, followed by the Mariners in Seattle. NFL, Jordan Love holding his youth football camp in Milwaukee tomorrow afternoon.
You know, that's part of a mission of our foundation is to get kids, get the youth involved in sports. That was a big pillar in my life, was just being able to play sports as a kid, be together with the different kids in my age group, and meet NFL players now, too.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly cloudy, warm, and humid today with scattered thunderstorms later this afternoon and tonight. And a couple of those storms could be strong to severe. Our high today, 84. Tonight, 63. Tomorrow, cloudy in the morning, sunshine in the afternoon. A lot cooler and less humid with a high of 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
Bring the whole family to the Waukesha Kennel Club's Summer Splash Dog Shows at the Waukesha County Fairgrounds, July 25th to 27th. Enjoy exciting events like dock diving, fast cat racing, obedience, and the thrilling best of show competition. It's fun for all ages. Check out the vendors and find the best pet supplies for your furry friends. It's the perfect weekend for dog lovers and families alike. Sponsored by Royal Canin at 540 AM WAUK. Visit WaukeshaSummerSplash.com for all the details.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we are on the road and live from Oshkosh, the EAA Museum. Matt Nair on air and the Todd Albus Show. I hope you can join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Wednesday morning. It is July 16th, 2025. Parker Olson is our producer down in Madison Studio A2, and we will hear from meteorologist Brittany Merlot on the way as well. Coming up this hour, we'll be talking to State Representative Christian Phelps from Eau Claire in our homeroom segment where we talk about education issues in Wisconsin and the ticking time bomb that is awaiting Wisconsin taxpayers when it comes to the voucher school program. It's already costing nearly $1 billion a year, and that's with a cap on enrollment. That cap is supposed to go away. What happens then for state taxpayers? We'll talk about that with Representative Phelps coming up. And in our next hour, the new chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Devin Remiker, will be along talking about an event that's taking place tonight in La Crosse in the 3rd Congressional District so that folks in the 3rd Congressional District can finally talk to somebody other than their missing congressman about the cuts that their congressman is supporting for Medicaid and health care programs and a host of other things to pay for tax cuts for the very wealthy. While we await Ms. Merlot and the forecast, a reminder that you can join us here by using the comment sections either on Facebook or YouTube or on the Up North News Facebook and YouTube pages and the Civic Media Facebook and YouTube pages. You can also use that Civic Media app to send us your texts and comments and questions as well. For example, Rob does that from Tigerton every morning. He says, good morning from Tigerton. Sunshine and 65 degrees. Really? Because it is like super overcast over here. So not so much in Tigerton. He said, yesterday I had 6 lawns to mow in Tigerton, drank a lot of Gatorade, took plenty of breaks, and it tired me out. I fell asleep on my recliner. Yesterday was the 45th anniversary of the 10 tornadoes in western Wisconsin around the Chippewa Valley. With 3 deaths, 27 injured, I watched the old WEAU TV reports on YouTube. Yes, that July 15th, 1980 is a date that is seared into the memories of anybody in the Eau Claire area. And, I mean, somebody got a picture of the wall cloud that was coming and the straight line winds that that front brought along and just did immense damage all throughout the city of Eau Claire and just outside the area as well. So yes, that did indeed get mentioned by a lot of folks around here yesterday. Rob goes on to say on YouTube, I love weather history. And when I was a kid, I would track severe storms with a roadmap in the direction they were moving. And that's how I got to know geography and math, by tracking storms. He says, I'm looking forward to the cooler and less humid weather. It will have a fall feel great feeling to it, mowing yards. We talked about Sean Cassidy in our last segment, and he said he remembered seeing Sean Cassidy on Tiger Beat magazine And of course, he and Parker Stevenson and others who were starring in the Hardy Boys, Nancy Drew mysteries that were on ABC. Oh, and then Rob adds here on YouTube, clouds are moving into the Tigerton area as we speak. So there you go. I saw Brittany come up. I think she had a little connection issue. So let me go back and get her state forecast at least because, well, I mean, stormy is the main thing to share there, that there will be soaking rain across the state. And then there will be some thunderstorms. There's the potential for flash floods. And then there is cooler air behind it. Her forecast for today says cloudy and cooler. Strong or even severe thunderstorms are possible, along with heavy rains and flash flood concerns. Highs will only be around 60 up north, low 80s in southern Wisconsin, a northeast wind at 10 to 15 miles an hour. For tonight, the rain moves out. Lows will be in the mid-40s up north to the 60s down south, and a northeast wind at 10 to 20 miles an hour. The radar right now shows a very large area of rain. A few thunderstorms embedded in there as well, taking up basically the entire eastern half of Minnesota, and looks like it's just starting to roll into western Wisconsin. And the funny thing is, I mean, the system is curved pretty much like the Minnesota-Wisconsin border, so I mean, it is quite literally moving into all of western Wisconsin pretty much at the same time. So keep an ear on your local civic media station for the forecast details. And again, Brittany and others will be following that, especially when it comes to the potential for severe weather that could be in the forecast for today. Parker, you like balloons? We all like balloons, right? I mean,
sure.
They're sweet little innocent things,
yeah,
right?
I mean, have you ever, when you were a kid, Pat, did you ever get a balloon and it was like, it has a bunch of air in it and it hits the ceiling?
Yeah, yeah.
Would you ever wait for it, like, over a course of, like, a couple days or week or whatever, for some of the air to, like, escape from the balloon or however it works, and then
that's how it works.
A level?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm not a scientist. And I'm not Brittany Marlowe. Come on. And you get it to the point that it's just kind of, like, floating around, like, eye level,
mm-hmm.
and then you just fly it around the house with the windows open or something.
Can you play the mystery music for that, and we'll describe this some more, because that's the vibe I'm getting from this as you're describing.
Okay, so what it is, just Pat?
Watch a balloon as it's come off the ceiling, but it's not to the floor yet.
No, it's not. It's just it starts to kind of hang. What we would do when we were kids is we would take like tape and paper clips to weigh it down so it wouldn't be on the ceiling, and we'd just like open the windows and fly them around the house.
Your science teacher then teach you all about ballast and how that all worked?
This is just a family thing that we did.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I bring it all up because of power outages that are being caused by Mylar balloons. One most recently in the Milwaukee area led to some 2,000 customers being without power in parts of Walker's Point, Lincoln Village, and Bayview. And it was hours and hours before the power was restored. There were balloons found tangled around We Energy's equipment. A lot of folks release balloons to honor lost loved ones or special occasions. But according to a story in the Journal Sentinel here, at least 10 states along the coast, like Florida and Delaware, have passed laws to ban the intentional release of balloons. And Milwaukee area state senator Tim Carpenter has introduced a bill as well to prohibit the release of 10 or more Mylar balloons. If you do that, it constitutes littering, and you could face a fine of up to $500. We Energies estimates that 120,000 customers have experienced power outages over the last 5 years from Mylar balloons that run into power lines or equipment and short them out. I did not see that coming. That many people have had their power knocked out by balloons.
I didn't see coming that you could get a fine for releasing balloons.
All right. Well, you can't. It's in Wisconsin, it's not yet. It's a bill that's been proposed by Senator Carpenter.
Yeah.
But in several other states, they've already passed that law.
Huh.
So, you know, consider other things. The other thing that worries me, you see this especially at weddings, are those don't know if they're called lanterns. Essentially, it's like a little candle in a paper bag, and then they attach it to a balloon.
Sure. Yeah.
And then these little tiny things blow away. And it seems innocuous enough, and then, but then you worry if it's just dry enough and it lands in a field someplace.
Yeah.
And what it can do. So I feel like you need better substitutes for some of these things. There's got to be ways that you can do something that don't involve, you know, flames or or things that can cause power outages for thousands of people. I think about, like, for our wedding, you know, and again, we're going back almost 40 years now, but back then people were still throwing rice, you know, at the bride and groom. Like, it's almost like confetti, you know, prehistoric confetti.
Sure,
that's what we'll call rice.
Yeah.
And we were like cutting edge for our wedding. We said, no rice. You got to throw bird seed. You get the same effect, but then at least it's safe for the birds as opposed to them eating the rice and causing, you know, death and destruction and everything else. So throw rice. Or throw a bird seed instead. Throw bird seed.
I like that you completely just explained why you shouldn't throw rice. And you're like, yes, I'll throw rice.
So throw rice. No, throw a bird seed. What we didn't count on was that...
How many birds would appear?
No, it was 96 degrees that day when we got... And we were already glistening, shall we say, standing outside of the church. Yeah. And the people are kind of throwing their bird seed. And it so much of it just stuck. And all I want to do now is, once again, 39 years later, is apologize to the housekeeping staff of the Motel 6 in Appleton, where we went after our reception was over, because I'm sure that cleaning crew went in the next day, knowing that there were honeymooners staying in there, and there was birdseed everywhere. Because we got to the end of the day, we'd been outside, we get hit with the birdseed, and then we polka dance for like the next 7 hours or something like that. Get to the hotel about midnight, and as we're, you know, getting set for the end of the day, we're like, how much bird seed was stuck to us all this time that we did not even know about? So
it's
I don't know
pockets.
If they're still, I don't know if they're still throwing bird seed. There's days I still feel like I could, you know, reach back behind my ear and something, oh, look, here's a little bit more. It was not our best. It was still a better idea than rice.
Yeah.
But it was ultimately not maybe our very best idea that we could have come up with.
But hey, you made a heck of a memory.
Here's the thing. Nobody is writing a bill to say you can't do this anymore the way they are with the Mylar balloons, okay?
That's true.
So we've got that going for us,
yeah.
which is kind of nice. Let's see. The Emmy nominations came out that I wanted to lay out there for folks. Severance. Do you watch any of the Apple TV things, like Severance or Shrinking or any of that?
No, we only get Apple TV for the free trial when the Brewers get stuck on there for a night.
Okay, good. Severance, 27 Emmy nominations. And The Studio led the comedy nominees with 23. Apple TV had 79 nominations overall. Shrinking added to that total with 7 more in the comedy category, including acting nominations for Harrison Ford and Jason Segel. Now, I've not watched Severance or The Studio, but we have watched all of Shrinking, and I cannot recommend that highly enough. It is really funny. It's a good show. Over on Disney Plus, Andor got 14 Emmy nominations. I hear a lot of people talk about Andor.
I talk about Andor.
Do you talk about Andor?
You
follow it pretty regularly?
I was a big fan of Andor, yes. I wish that there was space in the timeline for there to be another season, but there's not.
Oh, because, it's only a certain segment of before.
Like, the universe is limited and before what? Yeah, the time other events.
Got it. Let's see. So Tony says, Shrinking equals great. Severance equals great. Andor equals great. All right, well, Tony's watching all the popular stuff.
He knows.
Tony's one of the cool kids.
He's in touch.
There is one other TV news item that I have to share. I don't want to share, but I have to share. When people go, Pat, why do you do what you do? What's with Civic Media, Up North News? Why do you do all these things? Here's why. During the month of June, for the third straight week, Nielsen reports that Fox News Channel, which isn't really news, but whatever, Fox News Channel had more viewers in prime time on weeknights than any of the main broadcast networks, ABC, CBS, Fox, or NBC. That's how many folks aren't getting outside in the summertime, but they're watching a propaganda network that is going to keep me employed as we keep trying to knock down all the disinformation that it spews repeatedly. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thank you for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away, so come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big brutal bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes
right.
In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at SCORE.org.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. Yesterday, I played a clip from Earl Ingram's conversation with Paul Schwartz, who is a lead-free water activist, talking about what they're doing to mitigate the problem of lead in our drinking waters here in the city of Milwaukee. I'm going to play another clip from that interview, but you can find the entirety on Earl's podcast, What's Going On, which is available at civicmedia.us/shows. In this part, Paul talks about the work they have done already, but also the road ahead, as well as comparisons to how California has worked to take care of this ongoing problem as well.
You know, Paul, it is really kind of ironic that you talk about that going back to 1978, 79, 1980, early 1980s. And we're talking about today, you know, that's exactly what is taking place today. And so I say to people who think that this has just come into vogue, no, you know, we're sitting back and many people are saying, you know, President Trump is doing all of these things. And I constantly say to people, there's no way possible that he could have orchestrated what we are dealing with today himself. He's nothing more than, you know, a piece of the furniture for the people who have orchestrated this. And as we deal with what we're going to be dealing with in the coming years, this lead in the water issue is one that has to be brought to an even broader group of people. After it's all said and done, you know, water is life. that's the way it's always been projected. Our bodies are what, 70 some odd percent water? If we don't take care of the water, there's no humanity, is it?
I mean, that's right, Earl.
No animal life, no plant life, there's nothing.
I mean, really, we're a water planet. If you think about the name of our planet, we should be called Planet Ocean, not Planet Earth. And like you said, water, it's most of who we are. You can live without food longer than you can live without water.
So I guess I want people to know, as we begin this quest and this trek to educate people, we're going to bring great guests, national guests, international guests. We're going to be joined by two great friends, Dr. Yana Lambert-Nidu and another good friend, Robert Miranda. And so we're going to begin what we believe is going to be a landmark discussion about what we can do to make sure that this issue that is being, you know, kind of silenced is brought to the light. Is it safe to say that, Paul?
Yeah, it's, I mean, I think this is going to be really a game changer, Earl, in terms of thinking about how it is people can build power to change the concrete things that affect them. We're going to be focused in on lead and water, but I think you can safely say that the same lessons that we're going to explore in history that we're going to explore here and the lessons about how to move forward can apply to so many other issues as well.
You guys are going to, you and Dr. Yana are going to bring in the specialists from all over this nation, because this is not something that's going to be fixed, you know, by the end of 2025, Paul, and it may be safe to say it may not be done, you know, by 2050.
Yeah, I mean, the good news, Earl, is that we have tools in our tool chest that we can pull out and use to protect people and to make systemic and systematic change. But we didn't get into this problem in a minute, and we're not getting out in a minute.
In Washington, D.C., it's your home. You said you were in California for a number of years, and you were dealing with water issues in California. How did, you know, California was always, to me, from what I knew about California, a state, that was always open-minded and liberal. And so it was always a state that you could have these kinds of conversations in and be accepted to have these kind of conversations. What was, in the early stages, what were the conversations like with you and in California in the early stages of this conversation?
You know, in California, they have a saying, Earl, that whiskey is for drinking and water is for fighting. And water has always been at the heart of power dynamics and politics in the Golden State. And you can see that reflected in culture like Chinatown. What's the backstory? It's about water and water rights for Los Angeles. Water is life there, and water is power and money. And so you can imagine the tussle that goes on there all the time about this issue. But the conversation in California was about the biggest, most powerful institutions, the oil and chemical industry, the ag industry, real estate development, and who was going to gain access to water, both to use it and to dump into it. And that was most of the conversation in California. The public health side of it, the pieces about lead and water were buried very deep and not surfaced at that time in California.
As I mentioned before, you can find the entirety of that interview by going to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for Earl's new podcast, What's Going On, and you can download it to your device and listen to it anytime, anywhere. You can also subscribe to it as a podcast. That way, episodes are delivered directly to you every time a new one is available. I'll have one more selection for you, but then that's it. If you want to listen to the entire thing, you got to go to civicmedia.us/shows and get the whole podcast for yourself. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, go to WAUKradio.com and sign up for our newsletter. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I'll be back in 20 minutes. It's 729.
voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
That yummy ice cream treat that you enjoy might look a little different in the future. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. That's because the ice cream industry is the first to pledge that they are going to discontinue use of certain artificial colors from ice cream products made with real milk by December 31st, 2027. Now, if it's a complicated flavor, that can take a little longer, according to Shannon Simon, marketing manager for Cedar Crest Ice Cream.
Pirate's Bounty obviously uses M&Ms, so we would have to be on waiting on Mars to kind of change their food dye before we'd have the availability to change our food dyes. So we are kind of at the mercy of a few other companies that needs to make their changes first. But for something like our strawberry and our Blue Moon that uses some dyes, we are considering alternatives that would still provide the same taste. So it is something that our team is actively working on, but it's going to take some time before we can finally fully execute, you know, a whole dye-free ice cream flavor.
Shannon Simon, she's the marketing manager for Cedar Crest Ice Cream, explaining how truly complicated those kinds of changes can be. Now, the International Dairy Foods Association says right now, U.S. ice cream companies are pledging to eliminate the use of red dye number 3, red number 40, green 3, blue 1, blue 2, yellow 5, and yellow 6 from their ice cream and frozen dairy desserts by 2028.com.
You're invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek for this year's Farm Technology Days, Generations of Progress. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There's also a rotary parlor, seminars, and of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 5th through the 7th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our Baselite product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Baselite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
And while the ice cream industry may be one of the first to walk away from certain artificial food dyes, in some states, it's becoming mandatory. Texas is already requiring warning labels on 44 ingredients. Louisiana just created a law controlling 50 ingredients, some prohibited in schools and some banned throughout the state. The ingredient conversation continues. I'm Pam Yonke.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly cloudy, warm, and humid today with scattered thunderstorms later this afternoon and tonight. And a couple of those storms could be strong to severe. Our high today, 84. Tonight, 63. Tomorrow, cloudy in the morning, sunshine in the afternoon, a lot cooler and less humid with a high of 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at mda75.org.
Matt Nair on air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens. And then the legendary and one and only Frank Hermans of Let Me Be Frank Productions performs in the studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
It's going to be a busy day on the Civic Media Radio Network because it's a road tripping week with Jane and Greg and with Todd Alba all on the road. Today in Oshkosh on Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air and Greg Bach at 9:30. Dick Kapinski from the EAA Museum, because that little thing called Air Venture is next week. So they're getting set for the big fly-in. So, of course, Todd will be broadcasting from Oshkosh as well this afternoon on his show from 2 to 4. And then on the Maggie Dawn show later this afternoon, there will be Dr. Kristen Lyerly with a segment called Broad Appeal during the 4 o'clock hour, taking calls from women about what they are most concerned with right now. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, State Senator Chris Larson. So again, a busy day ahead here across the Civic Media Radio Network, where right now we are going to hear in our homeroom segment from State Representative Christian Phelps from the Eau Claire area. And our subject today, by and large, is about enrollment caps for the voucher program. We'll talk about the state budget as well. Representative Phelps, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you, Pat? Good to see you.
It's good to see you as well. It's been, no doubt, a busy couple of weeks for you here as a freshman rep with your first state budget, a process that was not typical, to put it mildly, when things plodded along and then suddenly had to race at breakneck speed at the end of it here. So let's cover that ground first. Your overall observations on the budget. You were a no vote on it. So talk a bit about, you know, how you came down that way last week.
Yeah, it was a busy couple of weeks at the end there. It was busy because of a manufactured timeline crisis that Republican majorities could have avoided easily. They know as well as I do who the president is, what federal cuts that president was trying to implement since the day he was inaugurated. And these are the people who had abandoned the governor at the negotiating table partway through the budget writing process. So it was a little bit disingenuous, in my opinion, for them to come back to the full legislature and say, all right, we need to get a deal and pass a budget immediately in order to avoid the Medicaid cuts that the Trump bill is going to implement. That was, you know, true by that point, but it was entirely their fault that it had to be on such a condensed timeline. I come right out of the advocacy world, and so I continue to work closely with teachers and parents who advocate for public schools, as well as sort of issue allies that advocate on healthcare, Medicaid expansion, criminal legal reform, trying to reduce the incarceration rate in Wisconsin, environmental advocacy groups. And they were clear that a budget, especially with close margins in the legislature and Democratic governor, for them to support was going to require certain benchmarks. It was going to require Medicaid expansion, 60% special ed reimbursement at a minimum, and closing the Green Bay Correctional Facility and funding childcare at least at the rate that it's been funded through childcare counts. So like those advocacy groups, I knew that if a budget didn't include those things, I wasn't going to support it. And the budget we got didn't include any of those things. So I voted no on it, and I was pretty consistent in my reasoning for doing that. I thought it was strange that we were being put in the position of suddenly being in kind of a state of legislative panic when really the Republican majorities could have avoided that by just negotiating in good faith from the beginning.
I would let folks know that while Instagram is normally about photos and videos, and you know, there's sometimes just a very brief text that's in there, Christian's Instagram explains again all these reasons why he voted no on the budget. It is laid out in like six little bullet point paragraphs, and is probably the most informative Instagram post I've ever seen in terms of explaining something that's in the news. And you'd find him on Instagram at CS_Phelps if you want to see that. I'm sure you've got it written in other places as well, but it really stuck out when I saw it on Instagram yesterday, Christian.
I'm glad. That's the best compliment a state or local elected official could possibly get, that our social media presence is in fact helping people understand what's going on in the political world.
Without any cute animals required, you know, or anything like that. You know?
Sadly.
It does accompany a photo. Talk about the three other legislators in the photo who all banded together on the snow vote. I know Fran Hong was one of them.
Yes. So, and she's the ranking Democrat on the Education Committee. We worked really hard with her and several other public ed advocates to make sure that our colleagues, including the governor and our colleagues in both parties, to the best of our ability, understood the education components of the budget as well as we could. And then Representatives Clancy and Madison are both from Milwaukee. All four of us are Democrats in the legislature in the Democratic caucus, and we also caucus the four of us in the Wisconsin Legislative Socialist Caucus and try to always analyze everything through the lens of an advocacy perspective. And one of the things that I say is that we all believe that healthcare, housing, food, and education are human rights. I think we're not alone in that, but we hold each other accountable to the best of our ability to always analyze policies, including the budget bill, through does this policy move us closer to treating those four things as human rights, not through is this politically convenient and will this lead to my reelection? And if there's a gap there, we close it through messaging, not through compromising on our principles. And I think that that was a defining way that we looked at this budget vote as well.
So I think I know where you're going to come down on our Sunday morning newsletter question of the week, which is which direction the Democratic Party should go in. The options were A, go left, B, bold, don't be squishy. B was the big tent option. C was far left positions are going to kill the party and drive away moderates. And option D was I'm a Republican with a box of popcorn just here to watch. I see a lot of responses for all the various things. People are putting their hearts into these responses. And I just heard from you right there the heartfelt reason why Democrats ought to embrace either option A or B.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to frame my position as an opposition to a big tent. I like a big tent. Mm-hmm. And frankly, in Wisconsin, as in the United States in general, we don't really have a multi-system governing a multi-party governing system. We have a two-party system. And we are, that's the way that our legislature is set up. And so what I have found that people want in the Eau Claire area and among my neighbors is an authentic representation and an authentic candidate. Candidates who don't try to sort of walk a tightrope trying to keep everybody happy, but instead articulate where they stand, why they stand there, and where those values align with their neighbors. And that's what I spent all year doing last year through a competitive primary and a competitive general election in the Chippewa Valley. I said, I'm very steadfast on these principles, and I think it's because of values that I share with you, urban and rural residents of this region. By electing me, those folks said that they agreed with me on those values, and I think that they want me to be consistent and honest in my way of upholding them. That doesn't necessarily mean an ideological prescription, but it means tell your constituents what you're going to do and why, and then explain it every step of the way. That's what I want to see from elected Democrats moving forward, and I think not doing that harms not only the state and people's livelihoods, but our electoral chances, because people are smart and they can tell when you are hedging on your values.
Oh, yeah. And I could see in the legislature as well, people that I referred to as clock punchers. They came in, they punched the clock. They did the least amount of work possible, didn't talk about their values at all, just tried to get reelected. And it was no fun serving with them, even in the same party. But you see it in both parties, as opposed to everything that you just said, which is what a legislator should stand for. All right, well, let's get back to the topic at hand here. And again, your education advocacy work that you were doing prior to being in the legislature has you uniquely positioned to talk about the issue of enrollment caps on voucher schools, which I am sure, I would dare say 97-98% of people do not know about. They know we have a voucher school program. They don't know it's costing us nearly $1 billion a year and that there's an enrollment cap on it. What is the current condition? You know, what can you tell us about the cap and then how it apparently could go away next year?
Yeah. Thank you for asking. It's true that a lot of people are not really familiar with the gravity of this program. In my work, I've met people, for example, who get elected to a school board. And when they get onto the school board, they and start seeing the books and the budget for their school district up close, that's when they learn things such as the fact that their district is losing funds to the private voucher program. And the reason for that is because the statewide voucher program and all of the sort of increases or growth of those of that program have mostly happened behind closed doors in Wisconsin. When you look at other states where people have ballot initiatives and they can go to voters through kind of a democratic process to say, do you want something like this or a referendum on vouchers, they always fail. People don't like the idea of spending public dollars on an unaccountable private school system. We've seen it fail in places like Arizona, Kentucky. We've seen very Republican legislatures in places like Idaho reject this idea. But in Wisconsin, we've had a voucher program in Milwaukee for about 30 years. And now we have a statewide and a Racine voucher program that Republican Governor Scott Walker put into budgets. And one of the things that was sort of snuck into a Walker-era budget in 2015 was a 1% annual increase in the enrollment cap on that program. So it started at a very low percent. It's now at 10% of a school district's population, student population in that school district, can participate in the statewide voucher program. And the way that's funded is that school districts get whatever amount of money is agreed on in the budget from the state. And then the first thing they have to do is take some off the top and send it to the private voucher program. At that time, they lose all of their oversight over those dollars. They don't know which students are getting it. They don't know what the schools are going to do with it. And they have no real way to find out. And that number has been going up by 1% every year since that Walker era budget. And in statute, it says that in 2026, going into the 26-27 school year, that enrollment cap will come off entirely. And this was like a big elephant in the room I saw like hanging out as we were going into this budget process, because we have biennial budgets. This is the last one we were going to pass before that enrollment cap comes off and the balloon pops. And we don't know, there's no way to know how big the program could get. So before the budget, actually, I introduced a bill, Assembly Bill 307, I recommend people look at, to just keep those caps on. Now, I'm an opponent of the voucher program. I think we should sunset it. That was an olive branch. I reached out directly to Republican legislators saying, please sign on to this bill. This is fiscally responsible. We have to buy ourselves some time. But it has not passed. No Republican has signed on. And now a budget has passed. Guaranteeing a 9% funding increase to the voucher and charter programs. We're already losing about $800 million a year to these programs. And the Legislative Fiscal Bureau has confirmed for me that we really do not know how much this is going to cost the state and our school districts when that enrollment cap comes off in 1 year. So we need to pass that bill as soon as possible. And if you have a Republican state legislator, please reach out to that person and invite them to sign on to my compromise bill to just keep those caps on. Our budget needs that.
And the thing is, in other states, in multiple states, Republicans are becoming aware of this, and they are now supporting putting caps on when they see what it's done to their state budget. So there is no excuse for Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature not to see this and to try to defuse this ticking time bomb before it goes off. Representative Christian Phelps from Eau Claire, thank you so much for spending some time with us on all these great subjects today. We appreciate it.
Thanks for inviting me, Pat.
Our pleasure. And coming up, a local break is next for some of you. For others, we'll visit with Jimmy Cuska and talk about news around Western Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the greatest pop rock of the 60s and 70s. The Happy Together Tour 2025 with the Turtles. Jay and the Americans. Little Anthony. Gary Puckett and the Union Gap. The Vogues and the Cal Sills. August 10th at the Bank 5-9 main stage at Wisconsin State Fair. Get tickets now at wistatefair.com. Wisconsin State Fair presented by U.S. Cellular.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In a chaotic and somewhat discombobulating end to the process, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a state budget and Governor Tony Evers signed it into law at about 1:30 a.m. on July 3rd. What made this budget different from the others signed in this era of divided government is that Democratic votes were needed to pass the budget in the state Senate. Part of the reason that was made possible is because of new, fairer maps. Last November, Senate Democrats flipped four seats, shrinking the Republican majority to just an 18-15 margin. Now, candidates are already lining up to take this the rest of the way and flip the chamber. Democrat Jenna Jacobson, who currently serves in the Assembly, is now running for Senate, challenging Republican Howard Markline in the 17th District. If Democrats can flip that district and one more seat, they could control the state Senate for the first time in more than 15 years. That would be a big deal for state politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big Brewer bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Milwaukee film critic, Mr. Matt Miller. I know you saw this. I saw 28 Years Later as well. I really liked it. My wife loved it, and we're not really horror people, but just something that grabbed. It's just great storytelling.
It is simultaneously what you would want from a zombie movie and something completely different. It's just a really fascinating movie and one I hope people keep checking out.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. If you're looking for an affordable night out and a really good time to see some great performances, look no further than the Racine Theater Guild. Celebrating their 88th year, they're nowhere near slowing down. And to talk about the new shows coming up, Jocelyn Fish, who is the Director of Marketing and Development for the Guild, sat down with Don Rosen to discuss what they have planned for this new season.
We're going to talk about the theater.
Yeah.
Why do they call it legitimate theater? Like, is there illegitimate theater?
I don't think so.
You always say, it's legitimate theater. Like, there's some illegitimate one floating around. You don't want to go to those shows.
Who knows? Maybe that's from, like, vaudeville days or something like that.
You don't want to go to those illegitimate ones and get caught. Jocelyn Fish is here from the Racine Theater Guild.
Hello.
I have it written down. You're in charge of the whole shooting works.
Sure, we'll go with that. That's my new title.
The title again.
Director of Marketing and Development.
Yeah, we have it on our Facebook page. We gave it to the guy, and I forgot what it was. And we're here. The new season. This is the 88th season.
Yes.
88.
Started July 1st.
Do you have anybody working there, volunteers, who are 88 years old?
I believe so, actually.
They
haven't been involved since they were born, of course. But we do have a few volunteers who have been involved for over 50 years.
Whoa.
So, yeah.
All right, so there you go. All right, 88th season kicks off on July 18th. I always get the third week of the show. That way everyone knows their lines and, you know, there's no flubs and stuff like that. But there's no flubs anyway. And even if there was, you wouldn't know it.
Everyone works to make the show work.
Yeah, but you wouldn't know it anyway. I'm not going to know if they give a wrong line or not.
Right, yeah, you don't know the show, yeah.
The Drowsy Chaperone kicks off the brand new 88th season. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, next week. So we open on July 18th. Drowsy Chaperone is a really fun tribute to musical theater because we meet a man who's in his apartment. He's a little lonely. He's a little sad. And he says one of the favorite things he does when he's feeling blue, is put on his favorite musical record. And so he starts this record at the top of the show, and the show comes alive in his apartment on stage. So he's listening to a fictional 1928 musical called The Drowsy Chaperone. And it is zany. It is wacky. It pays tribute to every musical theater trope you can think of, from funny gangsters to the ingenue star to the producer to, I mean, anything you can imagine pretty much is jam-packed into this musical. So it's tap dancing, singing, roller skating, lots of props and costumes, and it's all come together.
Remember Noises Off?
Yes, it's a little farcical like Noises Off. It's a show within a show kind of idea, yes, very much so.
Are you impressed that I knew that?
Yes, I am.
I saw the movie and I saw your production of it.
Yes, the Michael Caine movie.
Yeah, they were both very good. So The Drowsy Chaperone runs mm-hmm. through July, from July 18th through the 27th.
Yes.
And okay, now here's one that's a classic, The mm-hmm. Importance of Being Earnest.
Yes, The Importance of Being Earnest. So we actually had auditions for this week. We had over, I think we're around 45 people came out to audition for the 8 roles. This was written by Oscar Wilde in 1895, and it is still as funny today as when it was written. It's kind of a comedy about poking fun at society, and at the time it was Victorian society and all these high standards that Victorians had of manners and politeness and truth. And so we meet Jack, who is pretending to be Ernest. We meet Algernon, who's pretending to have a friend Bunbury, and they kind of switch roles and switch places, but not a lot of mistaken identities. They both are trying to find love, and they have both told these young women that they are in love with that their name is Ernest. So how is that all going to come to fruition? There's lots of discussion about, again, manners and truthfulness that are the complete opposite to what is expected at the time. So it's personally one of my favorite plays, so I could talk about it forever. But
there's a name you don't hear anymore. Nobody's naming their kid Algernon anymore.
Algernon, no, no.
Now, there was a very famous Algernon. He was a mouse.
Yes, yes, he was.
It was Flowers for Algernon, mm-hmm. and the movie was named Charlie, and won an Academy Award for Cliff Robertson, who starred as, and his little mouse was Algernon.
Yeah.
That's about the only two Algernons I know in life.
Yeah, so that will open up in September 5th, actually. So.
Oh, we're talking about the fall.
I know.
September 5th through the 21st, mm-hmm. The Importance of Being Earnest. That sounds like a fun show. Mm-hmm. Dracula,
a comedy of terrors. Yeah, so, of course, this is taking the classic Dracula story that many of us know at least parts of, if you don't know the full thing, and it's putting a very zany twist on it. It's a big time tribute to like the Carol Burnett show, Monty Python and 39 Steps. So there is wacky humor. There is, they're running all around Transylvania trying to track down this killer after Lucy's sister falls victim to a disease of the blood, but he's actually, of course, sucking her blood.
I want to suck your blood.
Yeah. And so this actually started as a podcast during COVID and was adapted to the stage. So it's a newer play, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It, of course, lands right around Halloween for us, too.
You're going to want to listen to the rest of that interview because that's not the entire season overall either. They got far more shows coming up in the next few months. So go to racinetheater.org for more information. If you want to listen to the rest of the episode, go to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for the Don Rosen Show. You can download it to your device and listen to it anywhere, anytime, because we know you're busy. So we want to make it convenient for you. Don't go anywhere, because after the top of the hour news break, Pat's going to be welcoming Earl Ingram to the show to talk about his new podcast, What's Going On, as well as Melissa Baldoff with her weekly climate check. So don't go anywhere. Stay tuned on Civic Media. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, go to WAUK Radio and sign up for our newsletter. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:59.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. House Speaker Mike Johnson joins the growing number of Republicans urging the Attorney General to release files on the late pedophile Jeffrey Epstein.
Pam Bondi, I don't know when she originally made the statement. I think she was talking about documents, as I understood it, that were on her desk. I don't know that she was specific about a list or whatever, but she needs to come forward and explain that to everybody.
Johnson on the Benny Johnson Show podcast. A 22-year-old arrested in the murders of an American Idol executive and her husband at their home in L.A., LAPD Lieutenant Guy Golan.
Homicide investigators, with the assistance of LAPD's Gang and Narcotics Division, FBI Fugitive Task Force, took that suspect into custody without incident.
The Pentagon's released half of the 4,000 National Guard troops sent to L.A. to monitor ICE raid protests. Retired Army Colonel Peter Mansour tells KNX.
It's fire season in California, and those National Guard troops are going to be needed elsewhere in the state.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.